वक्रतुंड महाकाय सूर्यकोटि समप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। समस्त जन कल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुर्साक्षात् परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। हरि ओम। अच्युतम् केशवं कृष्णदामोदरम् रामनारायणं जानकीवल्लभम् अच्युतं केशवं कृष्णदामोदरम् रामनारायणं जानकीवल्लभम्। गाने कहते हैं भगवान आते नहीं, गाने कहते हैं भगवान आते के जैसे बुलाते नहीं, अच्युतं केशवं कृष्णदामोदरम् रामनारायणं जानकीवल्लभम्। कहते हैं भगवान खाते नहीं, कौन कहते हैं भगवान खाते नहीं, बेर शबरी के जैसे खिलाते नहीं, अच्युतं केशवं कृष्णदामोदरम् रामनारायणं जानकीवल्लभम्। कौन कहते हैं भगवान सोते कौन कहते हैं भगवान सोते नहीं, यशोदा के जैसे सुलाते नहीं। च्युतं केशवं कृष्ण दामोदरम् राम नारायणं जानकी वल्लभम्। अच्युतं केशवं कृष्ण दामोदरम् राम नारायणं जानकी वल्लभम्। कौन कहते हैं भगवान नाचते नहीं, कौन कहते हैं भगवान नाचते नहीं, गोपियों की तरह तुम नचाते नहीं, अच्युतं केशवं कृष्ण दामोदरम् राम नारायणं जानकी वल्लभम्। राम नारायणं जानकी वल्लभम् राम जानकी वल्लभम्।
Simple words in a short kirtan for Lord Shiva.
Uma Maheshwar Mahadeva,
जन सुख गन प्रिय नायक जन
प्रजापति महादेव की जय।
ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं। अम्बत्वामनुसन्धामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। नमोऽस्तु ते व्यास विशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकतानये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय मृतदुहे नमः। सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत्। वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। हरि ओम। भज मन राधे गोविंद भज मन राधे गोविंद भज मन राधे 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 गोविंद भज मन राधे मन सीते 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 रघुवीरा भज मन सीते 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 रघुवीरा रघुवीरा भज मन सीते।
बिहारी लाल की जय, सियावर रामचंद्र की जय। ओके, इफ यू आर जॉइनिंग अस टुनाइट फॉर द फर्स्ट टाइम, वी आर सीइंग चैप्टर 4 ऑफ भगवद गीता। आई विल चैंट नाउ फ्रॉम वर्स नंबर 11. Let's try and repeat those lines. Ye yatha mam prapadyante,
ye yatha mam prapadyante,
tam stateva bhajamyaham, mama vartmanu vartante, मनुष्या पार्थ सर्वशः, कांक्षन्त कर्मणां सिद्धिं, यजन्त इह देवताः, क्षिप्रं हि मानुषे लोके, सिद्धिर्भवति कर्मजा, चातुर्वर्ण्यं मया सृष्टम्, गुणकर्म विभागशः, तस्य कर्तारमपि माम्, विद्यकर्तारमव्ययम्, नमाम कर्माणि लिम्पन्ति, नमे कर्म फले स्पृहा, इति माम यो भिजानाति, कर्मभिर्न सबध्यते, एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतं कर्म, पूर्वैरपि मुमुक्षुभिः, कुरु कर्मैव तस्मात्त्वम्, पूर्वै पूर्वतरं कृतं, किं कर्म किम कर्मेति, कवयोऽप्यत्र मोहिताः, तत्ते कर्म प्रवक्ष्यामि, यज्ञात्वा मोक्ष्यसे शुभात्, कर्मणो ह्यपि बोद्धव्यम्, बोद्धव्यं च विकर्मणः, अकर्मणश्च बोद्धव्यम्, गहना कर्मणो गतिः कर्मण्यकर्मय पश्येत् अकर्मणि च कर्मयः सबुद्धिमान् मनुष्येषु संयुक्तकृत्स्नकर्मकृत् यस्य सर्वे समारम्भाः कामसङ्कल्पवर्जिताः ज्ञानाग्निदग्धकर्माणम् तमाहु पण्डितं बुधाः त्यक्त्वा कर्मफलासङ्गम् नित्यतृप्तो निराश्रयः कर्मण्यभिप्रवृत्तोऽपि नैव किञ्चित् करोति सः न एव किञ्चित् करोति सः. That person, even though doing, he doesn't do anything. That is a very wonderful state which the Lord is describing. Yeah? That even though doing, we do not do. And the only way that can happen, the only way we can find ourselves in a state where actions are being done through this BMI, I mean, this is for a person like you and I. Huh? Actions are being done through this BMI, but yet I am not doing. Please try and think about that statement itself. Even though actions are being done through this BMI, I am really not doing anything. What makes that action done through the BMI something that I am doing? It is called as kartritva bhav. And if that kartritva bhav is absent, means the doership is absent, then even though the action is done through this BMI, the doership is absent. Even though the action is done through this BMI, really, I am in a state of non-doing. So the action is being done, but I, you know, you can think about the person who has deputed somebody else to do something. So, okay, you go and do this. So the man goes and does it. You know, like some big bosses and all. They have subordinates. So they go and they get the subordinate to do it, right? After the subordinate does it, the people ask, who did that action? Who did that thing? They don't say that subordinate. They say that boss, isn't it? Like, for example, the person writes an article and it comes out in the New York Times. So everybody reads the article. So we say, who published that article? New York Times. But if somebody else wrote that, you know. The other man wrote it. So the doership is not imputed to the man who actually wrote. Every day a different reporter will write some different story, isn't it? The thing is never attributed to the person who wrote it. It is attributed to the newspaper, New York Times. We published it. We wrote it, like that. So there are many instances where, Guruji gives a nice example. Amma was reminding me yesterday of a child. The child pulls the beard of the grandfather. Now look here. This example comes in the teachings of, you know, this Akbar, Birbal and all. Once Akbar's grandson pulled his. And Akbar could not do anything to the child. The child pulled his beard. So Akbar could not do anything to the child. So Akbar went into thought, oh, look at this. This child pulled my beard. And if anybody else in the kingdom had pulled my beard. But now this child pulled my beard and I can't do anything. So he thought this is such a profound thought, you know. That even though the child did, he did not do. Because there is no consequence of his action. So he went to Birbal. You know, Birbal is so smart. So Akbar thinks that he has discovered something so profound, you know. This is so profound. I am sure Birbal will not know this. So he went to Birbal to try a trick question. He usually used to do that. What is a trick question? I want you to tell me, Birbal, is one person in this kingdom who pulled my beard and I was helpless, I could not punish him. Who is that person? Birbal said, sir, it had to be your grandson only. It means that child having done the same act, if somebody else had done, they would have been killed for it, because there's consequences of that action. So there are actions which we know, which is not usually imputed to the doer of the action, because in that action, some sort of doership is absent. This is what is being spoken about. This section, the whole first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita is about this. It is about, while engaged in action, there is actionlessness. While engaged in the action itself. And that can only happen when the person has totally removed the sense of doership. And I keep referring back to this verse way back in the third chapter. It says, ahankara vimudhatma karta aham iti manyate. That it is a great ahankar on the part of the individual to feel that he is a doer. There is where our deep thinking starts. And now he's giving so many hints how to reach that state. So he tells, as we saw in the last verse last night, tyaktva karma phala sangam, having renounced all attachment to the results of my action. This is where we start. Most of us work with strong attachment to the result of our actions. In fact, our mind is only on the result and we forget about the action itself. That is how strongly we are attached to that result. And the person who can do the reverse of that, forget about the result and work, keep your mind on the action. Gurudev says, keep your mind where your hands are. The person who can do that, that result will be certain. There will be no doubt about that result coming. But if you can put all your attention right on the action itself and don't be attached to the result. Nitya triptaha. And all the time, working not for joy. You see, when I get the result, I'll get some joy. That is what all of, otherwise we will not work, isn't it? We always perceive some joy in the result. So here, it is not working for joy, but working out of joy. It means I have to search in my heart and evoke that joy in my heart and work with that joy. That here I get an opportunity to make a contribution, to give my little bit to humanity, because humanity has given me everything. So I get an opportunity now to make my contribution. So working out of joy and not for joy. Nitya triptaha, I'm contented all the time. And working out of joy. Nirashrayaha, and not leaning, depending on the result and depending on other people and depending on so many things in the world. Leaning on them for my inspiration. You know, in these modern societies, you hear such wonderful words, motivational theory. What motivates people? And how to motivate people? And Swamiji, if there is nothing outside there to motivate, nobody will do anything. So what is being the motivation here? The motivation here is the actionless state, which is called as moksha. The motivation in Bhagavad Gita is moksha. What happens if we water down the whole study and we say, okay, now we're going to develop motivational theories and how to get people to do things. You tell. And Bhagwan also is trying with Arjuna, when he introduces in the second chapter enlightenment. He introduces the self. He introduces the absolute reality. That doesn't seem to motivate Arjuna much. So then he tells him, okay, if you don't want to study this Atma, which is Ajaha, Avyaya, Nitya, Shashvata, all these things, you don't want to study that, not think this. If you fight this battle and you win, you will get this kingdom. And if you lose because you are fighting a righteous battle, you will go to Swarga. So there is a win-win situation for you. Both sides. Now he Bhagwan thinks Arjuna will be motivated by this thing. And this is what happens when the Lord tells about moksha, people are not motivated. And if they're not motivated, now the Lord has to come down and tell some worldly, paltry, what do you call it? See, materialistic thing where you'll get kingdom. or you'll go to Swarga, and there you will enjoy. What a flimsy type of motivation, isn't it? But poor Bhagwan also, he's left with you and I. Because remember, he's not only teaching Arjuna, he's teaching all of us. So see what type of students the Lord has, that he has to motivate us with some material thing. But the real motivation of Bhagavad Gita is moksha, enlightenment, to reach that state. So, nirashraya, not being motivated by things of the world, not leaning and depending on things of the world for you to do what you have to do. You do it out of joy, bubbling. Get up on a Monday morning and say, right, it is Monday morning. I get back to work and I make my contribution to humanity. Swamiji, you don't know my work. And you don't know my colleagues and the environment. Oh. Well, Bhagavad Gita is about that also. How to stay in that environment, live in that environment, work in that environment, and still do it with joy. That is where you will really test whether you have grown or not. So to stay in that environment and do what you have to do. The person who is able to depend not on any other form of motivation, but the joy of his own heart, karmani abhipravittah api, naiva kinchit karoti. Slowly, slowly, that person will come to a state where even though doing, he does not do. He'll come to the actionless state. That is the idea. The state of moksha. So this is the drift of the verses. He continues the same idea in the next verse now. See, nirashir yatachittatma jyakta sarva parigraha shariram kevalam karma kurvannapnoti kilbisham. Nirashihi yatachittatma. The person working in his designated field, wherever we are, whichever job we have been given by our gunaka, by our gunas and all, whichever job we have been allotted by prakriti, by nature, all of us have fallen somewhere, isn't it? We have fallen in place somewhere. So, staying there and nirashihi, without all hankerings and cravings, make your work your worship, make your work your dedication to God, make your work your, Gurudev used to say, whatever we get from God is his gift to us. And whatever we do with what we get is our gift to him. So make your work like that, your gift to God. Nirashihi, without all of these craving and hankering and longing, only going on and on and on to acquire so many worldly things. And in the end, what happens? We all drop them. And we go away. This is how the whole human species operates, you know. We go on trying to acquire and acquire and acquire, and in the end we drop it and go. Or it drops us. Somehow, something happened. Wahan se tu kya laya bande? Yahan se kya le jayega? When you came, what you brought, and when you were leaving, what you will take. Mutthi bandh ke aaya jag mein, haath pasare jayega. We'll go. So, all these worldly cravings, nirashihi, without these worldly cravings, work nicely, work as worship. Yata chittatman, with your senses, mind and everything controlled. Tyakta sarva parigraha, giving up all sense of ownership to anything in this world. I really do not own anything. Mahatma Gandhiji used to say, always see all the things as in your trust. It has just been entrusted to you. So you should not have the feeling that it is mine. Yes, it is there and I'm using it, but that feeling that it is mine, we give up. Shariram kevalam karma. We only engage in those type of, now see, these type of lines, they're usually meant for sannyasis and all. We only perform those actions which are meant for the survival of the body. Means you get up and you have a bath and you eat and, you know, you go and beg and eat and you keep the body fit and all that kind of thing, little bit. Shariram kevalam karma. You only do those type of action. Kuruvan napi na kilvisham. Even though such a person is engaged in doing, he does not incur any sin. Now, how do you interpret that for just ordinary person, people like us? It means that I engage in, you see, all people who are engaged in active duty every day. We engage in all what we are doing and never hold yourself to be the prime mover of your actions. It means to say that you should see that the Prakriti is driving you to, the Prakriti brought you here also. Prakriti put you in a certain place. Did you have an interview with God to say that, Bhagwan, in this life I want to be a doctor? You turned out to be a doctor. You turned out to be a teacher. You turned out to be a whatever you are, engineer. There was no real planning. If you ask a little child, I was asking a little boy just a few days ago, what do you want to be when you grow up? He says, Swamiji, every week I change my mind. First I wanted to be a fireman. Then I wanted to be, so many other things he went on telling. So every week he changes his mind. And did you know when you were little that you will turn out to be what you are today? You didn't know. It means that somehow this whole Prakriti guided you, and then you ended up being where you are. So resign all things to the Prakriti. Resign all things to Bhagwan and his divine power, which is Prakriti. And go ahead doing what you are supposed to do like that. And then in verse number 21, he says that the person has to have this attitude in the mind. What attitude? See. Yadritcha labha santushtaha dvandvatito vimatsaraha samasiddhavasiddhaucha kritvapi na nibadhyate yadritcha labha santushtaha. Whatever comes your way, unsought, be contented. Shankaracharya in his Bhaja Govindam in the beginning also talks about it. Yallabhase nija karmo patam vittam tena vinodaya chittam. Whatever comes, entertain your mind with that. That is the idea. Here also, yadricha labha santushtaha. Be santushta. Santushta means contented. And say, okay, this is my lot, Bhagwan has given this. People say, Swamiji, if I do like that, there will be no get up and go, no inspiration, no motivation. I say, okay, it has happened like that, I have gotten like this, and I should just be contented. And then how the world will grow, how the economy will grow. If this philosophy is applied to the economy, there will be loss of jobs. There will be so many crashing of the economy because nobody will have any zeal and enthusiasm and inspiration and all such things to do, you know. Just whatever comes my way, I be contented. Contentment is given throughout the Bhagavad Gita like this. Bhagavan is talking about contentment. Santushta satatam yogi yatatma dhrira nishchayaha. And so many places contentment is given. Santushtaha. And this contentment thing doesn't see, this is a very simple thing. Here's the idea of contentment, and here's the idea of modern capitalist economy. And they don't seem to jive. They don't seem to go together, because if a person is contented all the time, what does he need to work? What does he need to consume more? What does he need to purchase more? And if he doesn't do that, economy goes down. You know what it proves? Only one simple thing. Moksha and mukti and real sadhana really doesn't jive with modern economy. It can't. In this economy, what is the driving force, you know? Consume, consume, consume. Work, work, work. Produce, produce, produce. So what happens in that type of arrangement? In that type of arrangement, my whole life Cool. That is why the whole society now come. In the old days, people used to work 8 hours and go home and just rest, meditate, study, sit with the family, so many things. Now 3 shifts round the clock. And in that type of society, that type of arrangement, what happens? There's the increase of stress, there's the increase of diseases, there's the increase of, you know, sleepless nights, there's the increase of so many countless things which our ancestors never knew. Did you sleep last night? If you ask one of our ancestors, did you sleep last night? He'll ask, whatever question is that? What else was I doing then? Nowadays you have to ask, did you get any sleep last night? Then again he'll say no. You see, what happens sometimes is we try to take Bhagavad Gita and the science of moksha and we try to interpret it and we try to fit it into our modern day life. But they're talking about 2 different things. This is moksha shastra. Moksha shastra means what? More and more renunciation as you go along. And what is the other one? Look, if you've been working as a society, if you've been working 8 hours for the last 200 years, that will not do. Now you have to work 3 shifts. You have to go on working. Go on and see. If you stop buying, which is what happened, people stop buying and the economy. Not to buy more, you have to work more. Spend more, isn't it? To work more, you have to give up your leisure time and give up all the other things. It's amazing how this species has gotten itself into a vicious circle. So what you do, in the midst of all of this frenzied activity and so much of economic activity, and you're caught up in the midst of all of this thing, you have to work out your own personal path to moksha. You have to decide whether I'm going to spend my 18 hours doing this thing, or I'm going to now limit my time in engaged in this to 10 or 12 hours and the other rest of the time I'm going to spend in spirituality. You have to come up with that formula by yourself. Otherwise, this whole thing will draw, suck you in there. And there, you cannot say that, no, I will weave my moksha into what I'm doing right now. You have to be a super weaver to do that, I tell you. So you put your boundaries and your margins and your, you know, lines, like Lakshman Rekha. I will not cross this line like that. I'm going to do this much. Otherwise, I feel more and more. And see, people go on interpreting all of these things. Bhagavad Gita for management. But the management is only geared towards more production and more consumption and more money and more building the business. And what management is geared towards? Whole of management is geared towards only increasing wealth and, you know. So in the midst of, now there is some bit, I must admit that there is some bit, even though you have found yourself in this situation, you are helpless there now. There is some bit of solace and consolation and peace of mind you could perhaps get from Bhagavad Gita. That is not questionable. That is true also. But to really come out from that whole matrix and really get onto the path which Bhagavad Gita was meant for, that thing will not happen. You have to now make some decisions, some hard ones. In the midst there, using Bhagavad Gita and certain verses and certain ideas and all, you might be able to get a little bit of peace of mind and all that kind of thing. And see, there is always a loggerheads going on between management and workers, na? So Bhagavad Gita for management is what? Seeking the welfare of management now. What about workers? What is that managerial skills in Bhagavad Gita? It's an amazing thing what we go on using the spiritual knowledge for. We have to be careful. When we use it, we have to make sure that we are not using it in any biased way or anything like that. Or we're missing the point altogether why it was designed. So here, he said, this santushta word is a word that it comes on the path of spirituality. That, look here, if the sadhak has not learned what is contentment on this path, he's not going to move forward. We have to learn that thing. And it means with a limited amount, I have to be contented. Not to develop this philosophy of moreism, which I was telling you. We want only more and more and more. There's no sign of contentment in that. And so that sadhak can never move forward. So you have to put your lines. I'll have this much and this is enough for me. And better if I have reached the state to be contented with what comes unsought. Dvandvatita vimatsaraha. Dvandvatita means going beyond the pairs of opposites. One who has transcended the pairs of opposites. I dealt with this in one of the previous. It's raga, dvesha, the likes and dislikes, hot and cold, all the different pairs of opposites. Don't be too perturbed by them. It has happened like this? Okay. It has happened like that? Okay. Otherwise, we are strongly attached to one side. We want it to happen like this only. Strongly insistent. That hinders a sadhak's progress. He'll not move forward. So it's a little bit cold today. Okay, nah. No, I'm not going back to the lecture. They don't know how to control the AC in that building. You gave up Bhagwan for a little bit of AC. See? So not so strongly attached to one side. Going beyond them. Pairs of opposites. Huh? When there's, siddha, anasiddha means accomplishment or non-accomplishment. Okay, sometimes you accomplish, sometimes you did not accomplish. But be balanced. Maintain that balance and equilibrium in both the occasions. Siddhava siddhaucha kritvapi nani badhyate. Having even doing, this person doesn't become bound because he has maintained an equilibrium and balance and equipoise in his actions. Vimatsaraha. Vimatsaraha means going beyond envy, jealousy. This is such a stealthy, surreptitious evil in human mind. You wouldn't believe how hidden this envy is, and it causes all sorts of things. And we don't even know because it is hidden below envy. This Hanumanji is going to Lanka, and under the water is hiding a Rakshasi. Her name is Simhika. She hides below. And Hanumanji is flying, and she has a power to pull him down by his shadow. She could grab his shadow and pull him down. So he's flying, and he suddenly finds that he's losing altitude. She is hidden below the water. He cannot see. When he comes closer, he figures out what is happening, and he gives one blow and kills her. She's envy. Envy means anybody who is going high, I have to pull them down. They call it crab in the barrel syndrome. You know that crabs, when you put crabs in a barrel, you don't have to cover the barrel. Because anytime one crab tries to climb out, another crab will. No need for cover. That is called as matsara. So the person has to become vimatsara, give up. When we see somebody else prospering and moving ahead, we should applaud. Ah, congratulate. Kya baat hai? You are doing fine. Please go on. In our case, what is there? And matsara, I'll tell you how it comes. You heard that you, in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, we quoted in one of the previous days. First, the person thinks about the object. He develops the attachment for that object. Then from the attachment comes desire for the object. From desire, this is where the trouble starts. From desire now. Desire is a power or an energy that is welled up in the heart. I want that thing. There's an energy that is welled up in the heart, right? No. From that point, several things can happen. Yeah, there is desire. If that desire is fulfilled, that energy which was there in the heart, if the desire is fulfilled, that energy transmutes itself or metamorphosizes into greed. The same energy doesn't go away. If the desire is fulfilled, the energy transforms itself into greed because I want more. if the desire is thwarted by somebody who is your inferior, who is inferior to you, beneath you, below you, then that desire transforms itself into anger. If that desire, the object of the desire, is acquired by somebody else before you, there was the object of desire and you wanted it, but somebody else got it first, that same energy now transforms itself into matsara, means jealousy. If that desire is thwarted by somebody who is your senior and who is reverential and respectful, that desire now changes itself into depression. Oh, he told me I can't do it, but I can't get angry with him also. Disappointment or depression. The same desire goes on changing. So what is jealousy? Jealousy is nothing but some desire you had and somebody else fulfilled that desire for themselves before you. Bas. So vimatsara, he says. Going beyond this, what? I dropped the desire. Or, second thing is, the person got it, I applaud him. I praise him. Congratulate him. Like that. So the person who is able to keep these type of attitudes in his mind and do his work, less and less his karmas will bind him. And I told you about that binding of karma. A triangular binding. That is worse. Bhagwan gives all of us. See, if you're going to bind somebody, you tie their two hands. Here, the three hands are given to tie you. Three things. So these people who work like this become free from the bondages of karma. Now, Bhagwan is going to introduce another word, which is called as working with the yajna spirit. So far he introduced only in the third chapter. Now he's going to bring back that word again. The Lord likes this word. You know why? Because the Lord encountered also in his yoga this society which loved so many yajnas. Traditionally, because the Vedas are so huge and they are full of so many different types of yajnas, Hindu society has been consumed by all types of yajnas. People like that word and they like yajnas. Even the Pandavas at the time, they were doing, you know, all horse yajna, this kind. They have so many different types of yajnas, they do also. People love those things. And in being taken up with so many yajnas, people forget that there are other things in the scriptures as well. So Bhagwan is going to make now in the following verses a most wonderful... He's going to attempt to make a most wonderful shift in paradigm for society. Because society operates by, you know, sometimes grand paradigms. And it is only the avatar, when he takes avatar like that, he tries to shift the whole paradigm of society. Like, for example, right now the paradigm in society is money and capitalism and business and consumption, and isn't it? That is all that it is all about. And if we stop doing that, the whole thing collapses. So that is the paradigm. But there are times when society is more concerned with, for example, spirituality and religion and, you know, that kind of thing. So society keeps shifting its paradigm time and time again. Now within religion itself, we can shift paradigm. We'll see how the Lord does this now. See here. Gatasangasya muktasya jnanavasthita chetasaha yajnayacharata karma samagram praviliyate yajnayacharata karma. The person who does his karma in the spirit of yajna. Karma samagram praviliyate. All his karmas are dissipated. All his karmas are praviliyate, means vanished. All his karmas get... It means to say the karmas are not there to bind him. But how he must do it? In a spirit of yajna. In a spirit of offering. Oh. Now see here. We know what is you know, the ordinary type of yagna. Here is a fire which is kindled there. And into that fire we go on offering. That is what society in Lord Krishna's time knew as yagna. So now the Lord is telling you, my karmas should be offered. My karmas should be done in the form of a yagna. So he's changing, in other words, the meaning of the word yagna. It is not now that I sit down, I kindle a fire there, and into that fire I go on offering samagri like that. That is what the society knew at the time. So he's introducing a new meaning for this word, yagna. So the people who are gatasangasya, who are beyond, those who have gone beyond all attachments, those who are muktasya, those who are free, jnana avasthita chetasa, whose mind is lodged in knowledge, whose mind is well settled in knowledge, those people, they do this yagna. All their karmas are offered into the fire of this knowledge. That is the highest type of yagna. So it is a different type of yagna the Lord is now introducing. And in several verses, he'll speak about so many different types of yagnas. Now let us see. Very famous verse. And this is how, first he describes how a realized soul, an enlightened soul, how he sees this yagna, which is going on there. An enlightened soul, that, you know, where there's a fire, there's somebody who's offering into the fire, he's offering different things and all that. How an enlightened soul sees that? See what, how he sees. Brahmarpanam brahma havihi. Brahmagno brahmanahutam. Brahmevate nagantavyam. Brahma karma samadhina. The enlightened soul, which is a muktasya purushaha, mukta purushaha, the one who is free, which is described in the previous verse. How he sees this yagna? Which yagna? The external yagna which we are used to, right? Where there's a fire and offering and all that. He sees that as brahmarpanam, the ladle which is used there to offer, that thing is also brahman, the absolute reality. Brahma havihi, the thing which is offered into the fire, the ghee, or all samagri, all included, that is also Brahman. Then Brahma agnau, Brahma agnau, the fire is also Brahman. Brahmanahutam, it is offered by Brahman. All the offerings are made by Brahman only, the absolute reality. Brahmaeva tena gantavya. And through that, through the yajna, who is reached or who is achieved? Brahman only is reached. Gantavyam. Brahma karma samadhina. By the one who is engaged in this, the person who is engaged, he is himself Brahman. And Brahman is reached. No. Everything involved in that yagna, in other words, is nothing but Brahman. So the vision of the person who is mukta, who is now realized, that vision is described there. Now some people say, Swamiji, so let it be described. What it has to do with me? He is mukta purushaha and he is seeing, you know, everything as Brahman. He is like that. So what is the benefit for me? That vision is described. Is there any benefit for me? Yes, that is the vision we are supposed to reach. In other words, the goal is pointed out very clearly. We always have to have some goal in our life. Now, you go to the airport and the flight, the person there, the desk, first question they ask, where are you flying today, sir? Suppose you say, I don't know. The first question, where are you going today? You say, I don't know. Okay, they'll put you out of the line. Some goal we have to know. So I want to come to that state where I see everything as Brahman. I see the absolute reality existing in all things. That is the goal. Now, from the next verse, he outlines 12 different types of yagnas. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Now, please see, the main element in a yagna is what? There's a fire, and things are offered into the fire, right? And there's one who is offering. So now who is going to offer? You and I. We are the ones who are offering. But the only difference now in what the Lord is going to describe in these 12 types of yagnas is the fire is not a real fire, and the things which we are offering is not real samagri or ghee. He's going to describe 12 different types of yagnas, which we have to sit down and meditate on. And as we meditate on them, or we do deep reflection and meditation on them, and as we go along in our life, we try to practice them. That is the idea. All these 12 types of yagnas which he's going to describe. No? We have, even if you grab one, I tell, keep telling, that spirituality is so wonderful. You know, in this capitalist system in which we live, you have 2-for-1 sale. Means you buy one and get two. Buy one and get two or whatever. Here, sadhana is so wonderful. There is 1-for-all sale. If you do one sadhana well, you get the benefit of all of them, really. You just have to do it well. This is our problem. What we do? We do a little bit, and we say, no, it's not working. We leave it. We go and pick up another one. And we do a little bit, and it's not working. We go and, no, not like that. Take one and do it well. Now see, what are these yagnas which he describes? This will be now from verse number 25. Deva meva pare yagnam.
Deva meva pare yagnam.
Yogina pariupasate. Shrutra Brahma Gnavapare Yagnam
Brahma Gnavapare Yagnam
Yagne Naivo Pajuhvati
Yagne Naivo Pajuhvati
Devam Eva Apare Yagnam Yoginaha Apare Yoginaha Devam Yagna Upasate. Some other yogis, some other people on the path, they do Deva Yagna. So there are two words, Deva Yagna. In the second line, Brahma Agnav Apare Yagna. And there's another type of people, they do Brahma Yagna. So there are two types of yagnas described. One is called Deva Yagna, and the other is called Brahma Yagna. So what it means, see, because there's the absence of more clarification on the path of Bhagwan, this verse has received so much of interpretation by different commentators and all. But I'll tell you one very simple interpretation of this verse. You know, we have two concepts of Bhagwan, right? One concept we call the absolute reality, Brahman. And the other concept we call it Ishwara. Have you heard these words? Ishwara and Brahman, right? So, there are two types of sadhaks. One type of sadhak, who is attached to Ishwara. In other words, this is Bhagwan, Sakar Brahma. Brahman with qualities. And so what they do, they surrender themselves to this Bhagwan. So this Ishwara will be the fire. And the individual person, he surrenders himself to Ishwara. He's called as Deva, the God, the absolute, the supreme God. So I surrender myself to him. And I work for him, I live for him, I breathe him, I think about him, like that. So the person surrenders himself to that Ishwara. That Ishwara is the fire, and the individual person is the thing which is offered. Bas. Very simple. Then, Brahma, the other person. You see, in this first case, the person still retains his individuality and he becomes a bhakta and he worships that Bhagwan, you know. He has surrendered himself, but he surrenders himself to that extent where he becomes a bhakta and worships Bhagwan. In Brahma Yagna, now, where Brahman is the fire, the individual jiva, the individual I, he dissipates and merges with Brahman. So he offers his individuality totally, and there is nothing left. So he offers himself like a drop of water going into the ocean. But that is the supreme most Yagna, where he offers his individuality and then nothing left. After that, everything finished. So one Deva Yagna and one is Brahma Yagna, where you see God as a Deva, as the Ishwara. and we worship him as a bhakta. Means I surrender to him and worship him. And the next one is, I totally give up my individuality. And there is, Kabir Daji has written a most wonderful bhajan. Let me tell you about that. Not a bhajan, a doha.
जब मैं था तब हरी नहीं अब हरी है मैं नाही जब मैं था तब हरी नहीं अब हरी है मैं नाही प्रेम की गली अति सांकरी प्रेम की गली अति सांकरी तामे दो न समाए कबीरा तामे दो न समाए कबीरा तामे दो न समाए जब मैं था तब हरी नहीं अब हरी है मैं नाही जब मैं था तब हरी नहीं अब हरी है मैं नाही प्रेम की गली अति सांकरी प्रेम की गली अति सांकरी तामे दो न समाए कबीरा तामे दो न समाए कबीरा तामे दो न समाए
He says, when I was there Hari was not there. The path of spirituality, love and devotion, the path is a narrow path, he says. Two cannot exist on the path. So if I am there, Hari is not there. Ab Hari hai, main nahi. Now Hari is there, I am not there. Only one can be there. That is the second yajna. I give up my individuality totally. I offer it into the fire of Brahman. Brahma agnau. Brahma agnau. Brahman is himself the fire. Okay, so that is two different yagnas. Now you keep count. I'm not going to count. I'm just going to tell whatever yagna. Two already is now given. Now see now.
Shrotradi nindriyanyanye. Sayamagni shujuhvati. Shabdadi nvishayananye.
Shabdadin Vishayananye. If you're reading Sanskrit, it is supposed to be an. See, because Sandhi, that A is dropped. But A is there also.
Indriyagnishu juhvati.
All right. So now, again. Shrotradin Indriyani. Anye means others. Other yogis, other sadhaks, other spiritual aspirants. What they do? They take Shrotradin, means all these five sense organs. Indriyani. Five sense organs, sayam agnishu juhvati, and they offer it into the fire of sayam. So now what is the fire and what is offered? The fire is sayam. And what is offered? The sense organs. Oh, sayam means what? Perfect control. Sayam, perfect control. What is the meaning of that? So here, in the mind, I develop a perfection in control, means strong control. I develop and the senses, they say, I want to see this, I want to smell that, I want to taste that, I want to, you know, touch that, like that. The senses go on saying. But the sayam, which is there inside, which is development, strong control, I offer all of these desires of these senses into that sayam. That sayam is the fire. It means I burn away all of these, the tendencies of all the senses. Yes, because all senses will always... See, I tell you, it is so hard for you to sit down and look at me if somebody is walking there. Suppose somebody comes here to put some piece of paper. All heads will turn from me to that person, isn't it? How the eyes want to... It wants to do that, you know. It wants to... The eyes, ears, and... Oh. The ears also. And if you want somebody to listen, tell them, I'm going to tell you a secret. That time they listen perfectly. So the eyes and the ears and all, they have their likes and dislikes like this. They want to do certain things. So you say, no, I will, I'm looking. I remember practicing this as a student, you know, Gurudev is there. And my eyes are fixed on him. It doesn't matter who comes there. I am not taking my eyes. So this is sayam, sayam agni. The agni, the fire is sayam. And the eyes want to look there, but I will not look. You see? Then Shabdadi in Vishayanandi. Then the not only do the senses want to go here and there, but you know the things of the world, they go on presenting themselves to the senses also. Na? Everything is presenting themselves. So here now, it's a slight shift in the next yajna. Now these are all things for us to practice, and yajnas for us to practice. You know, Bhagwan is trying to shift us away from the real fire yajna, which so people are so used to, and shift us to a higher form of yajna, a form of yajna that will make me make strides on the path of spirituality. Otherwise, the other one with fire, you know what is usually going on there? I offer this, so I'll get that. Isn't it? So the Lord wants us to pull away from that type of yajna. All the offerings were made to get something. Here, the offerings are being made now to get on the path, to hasten on the path of spirituality. So here, the objects of the world, they come and they present themselves to my senses. So the senses now, indriyagni, the senses themselves are the fire, and the objects come. And when they come to the senses, I make sure that they do not go inside and bother my mind. I burn them right at the entry of the sense organs. Okay, I see it. Yes. You know, I'll tell you what happens to us. Look here. I see some person walking down the road there. The moment that thing comes into the eyes, the mind goes into a flutter of activity. He's going, I think, to make some deal. Oh, he's going to meet such and such person. This is when he goes every day. How the mind goes into so many different things. But there is the ability of the human being to see Mr. X going there and to just stop there. So the sense object has come into the sense organ and it is burned right there. It is not allowed to go inside. So the sense organ is the fire itself. Indriya Agni. The sense organ is the fire. Don't let it go further inside. Let them come. Don't let it go inside. Otherwise, what happens? We go on paying for the crimes of the world. Because we allow it to go inside our head and corrupt our mind. Some people say, Swamiji, that is foolhardy, you know. You live in a society, you have to keep thinking. Something you have to think, you know. You cannot be so naive and you know, things are going on right around you. And they look here. You know, it is wonderful. King Janak Maharaj was sitting. There's a wonderful story where he said is once he was sitting in front of a guru somewhere outside the capital, and the whole palace started burning with fire. Whole of Janakpur. And all the students and all who were sitting there with that guru, they all had their house and their property and everything in Janakpur. So they all got up and ran away. And King Janak sat there. He did not move even an inch. So when they came back, they realized it was all concocted by the guru to test them. No, there was no fire. So they were all astounded. How come Janak Maharaj did not move? Janak Maharaj said, well, I am the king. I do not put out fires. If fire is there, there are firemen who will put it out, isn't it? So what does he need for me to run there? In the very same way, in this world, we get overly concerned about what is going on outside. So some drug pushers are there, you know. And our mind goes on now thinking, are your duty is to remove drug pushers or what? There are people who are charged with that duty. So yes, you see, and it is there. But and you just let the mind stay at that level. Really, there are so many things in this world which we go on worrying about, which we can do nothing about. So this is the meaning. Let it just come to the senses and let it be burned right there. And let all the things come. Don't allow it to go inside and disturb you. So that is now two more. Sarvani indriya karmani.
Sarvani indriya karmani.
Prana karmani chapare.
Prana karmani chapare.
Atma samyama yoga agnau. Juhvati jnana deepite. And inside now, kindle in the mind Jnana Deepa with the light of knowledge. Light of knowledge in the mind. And with that light of knowledge accompanying the mind, which is Atma Samayama Yoga. Samayama Yoga means with developing in the mind a strong control, not letting the mind run here, not letting the mind run there, keeping all the thoughts. It's yato yato nischarati manaschanchal amastam tatastato niyamyaitat. Bhagavan says, bringing all the thoughts and controlling that mind. Now this is developed over a long period of time. If that is done, and that is done how? Through knowledge. Jnana Deepa. See, we are able to see, hear the knowledge from the Guru that what? I am a sakshi, you know. The Guru tells, I can sit down and watch. So the mind is going here, the mind is going there. So I'm going to sit down and watch. And wherever it goes, I'll tell the mind, oh mind, why are you running there? That thing is essenceless. You're running after an essenceless thing. Please stay home. Here you will get the absolute essence. So like this, I train the mind, coax the mind, teach the mind, and sometimes I even engage in things that will punish the mind. But whichever way, yena kena prakarena, I keep that mind inside. And when in that controlled mind now, sarvani indriya karmani, prana karmani, cha apare. Other yogis, apare, yoginaha, what they do? All the activities of the senses, whether they be karma indriyas or jnana indriyas, or here, prana karma, all the activities of the prana also, I keep all of them in a state of quietude by a controlled mind. Here is a controlled mind supported by strong knowledge. So keeping all of them, that controlled mind is fire. And all the activities of all the senses and all the different pranas, karma indriyas, jnana indriyas and pranas, all of them I keep under control by a controlled mind. I offer all the activities into that controlled mind. This is the next yajna. So the yajnas you'll see, there are different levels. The first yajna is given there in a total offering of the whole personality into Brahman and finish the story. But if that cannot be done, then we have to now settle for the easier yajnas. Then, that is only one yajna he gives in that whole verse. Some verses he gives two. Now see the next verse. Bhagavan is wonderful also. Dravya yajnastapo yajnaha. Yoga yajnastathapare. Svadhyaya yajnana yajnascha. Yataya samshita vrataha. Those people who are samshita vrataha. Yesterday I was mentioning this word. Samshita vrataha. Those who are of strong vows. Samshita vrataha. A very wonderful word in Gita. Bhagavan uses vrata word more than once. So, taking vrata. Strong vows. Is very, very important on the part of spirituality. Those people who are strong vows. Who are yatayaha, who strive hard, who persist, persevere. Such people, they engage, and five yajnas are given there in one verse. Dravya yajna. Dravya yajna means they offer, dravya means all material things. Any material thing that you can think about, that is dravya. It is a gross thing. The literal meaning is a gross. Dravya. So all dravya means, including possessions, money, whatever it is, to offer it to the greater good. So greater good will be the fire, and offering the offerings will be dravya. Dravya yajna. Then tapo yajna. Tapo yajna means, tap actually means to burn. The literal meaning of tap is to burn. So what we should do? Inside all this, all human beings like us, you know, we are all the time afraid to burn. Any little pain we get, any little pinprick in life, oh, I don't like it. Any little difficulty, you tell, sit up straight. Swamiji, my back is paining. Let it pain. You don't want that little pain because it is burning. We don't like the
the burning. Nobody likes this burning.
So here now, in titiksha of forbearance,
sahan shakti, you develop and let the burning be offered into that sahan shakti, the tapa. The burning, whichever you're doing in your sadhana and it's hard, it's difficult, that is the burning you're experiencing. Let that be offered into titiksha shakti or sahan shakti. So you have to develop now some titiksha, some forbearance. That will be the fire. And into that forbearance, you offer this burning. So burn, in other words. I'd say, let the sahan shakti be it, like that. So tapa yajna. Then yoga yajna, yajnaha tatha apare. Yoga yajna means the constant, yoga comes from the root, to unite, na? Yuj. The constant and relentless desire to merge with, but everything in the universe is pulling you in the opposite direction. Everything in this universe is designed to keep you away from merging, away from Brahman. Everything in the universe is designed to, in your mind, keep the duality in place. But what do you have to do? The constant desire to merge with Brahman, to go beyond the duality, to find the one thing in the universe. So what? The Prakriti is pulling you in one way. You have to struggle hard and fight to go the other way, to learn to see the oneness in, to come to the oneness in the universe. That is the third type of yajna given in the verse there. So what is there? The desire in your heart to become one with Brahman, to become one with the reality. That they call it yoga, becoming one with the reality. So that desire should be kindled so well in the heart. And every attempt of the Prakriti to push you in the other way, burn that in this desire to become one with reality. That is the idea. Constantly be aware that the Prakriti is pulling you into disintegration. That's how the Prakriti works. It pulls your mind hither and thither. But you want to keep that mind and let it merge with Brahman. Then swadhyaya. That is the other yajna. Swadhyaya means self-study. Study by yourself or study of the self. Both. Swadhyaya. Because what the human being wants to study? How to make more money. He wants to study that. How to get along in the world, isn't it? How to move up this social ladder. He wants to study that. He doesn't want to study. In other words, the samsara, the Prakriti is pulling your mind to study worldly things. It's not pulling your mind to study self. So you develop that attitude all the time. I'm going to study the self. That is the fire you will kindle in your mind. And when the samsara pulls you to study itself, you burn that in this desire to study the self. Swadhyaya. Jnana yajna. Gurudev gives the most wonderful definition of his jnana yajna, or explanation of his jnana yajna. That is the fifth type given in this verse. Jnana yajna means, in the fire of jnana, which I kindle inside of me, I burn all my ignorance. That they call as jnana yajna. So, every day go on acquiring more knowledge. The ignorance will be burnt up. Because every acquisition of knowledge burns away ignorance. But that happens spontaneously. The acquisition of knowledge is... See, when you strike the match, you don't have to say, okay, now I will burn the darkness. Once you strike the match, the kindling of the match itself burns away the darkness. So the acquisition of knowledge itself burns away ignorance. It's called as jnana yajna. Into that knowledge, all ignorance is burnt. Like that. So, yataya samshita vrataha, I explained those words. This is done by people who, you have to take vows to do these things, in other words. And see how vows are very important. Take strong vows and go ahead and follow through with them. Means do them. As did, I am going to study about the self. I am going to acquire knowledge. Take a strong vow like that. Or, I am going to sit down and do some tapas, and my back will pain, my leg will pain, let it pain. But samsara will be pulling me in this way, but I am going to go the other way. My friends will say, you did not come to this party and that party and the other thing. And samsara is pulling. That's it. Let them say, I am going to go to the yajna. I am going to go to the satsang. I am going to go to my puja room and do some self-study or something like that. You see? While samsara is pulling the other way, you make sure you go the other way. Apane juhvati pranam.
Apane juhvati pranam.
Prane panam tathapare.
Prane panam tathapare.
Prana panagati rudhva.
Prana panagati rudhva.
Pranayama parayanaha.
Pranayama parayanaha.
Then, apane juhvati pranam. Pranam means the breath which is going out. Apane means the breath which is coming in. You know what is we have to offer one into the other. That is what is being spoken about there. What is the meaning of that, you know? I have to sit down and watch my breath so well. Generally, what the verse is giving is something called as pranayama, control of breath. But that control of breath should be done so well that at one point the breath comes to an almost standstill. The ingoing breath and the outgoing breath, both of them come to a standstill. Then one has merged into the other. Actually, you have heard about these things many times. You have heard about yogis who sit and live for 200-300 years. The breath is connected to the metabolism of this body. Now, this body is in a particular state here, right? In order for it to go on metabolizing all the time, it needs air. But if I can slow down the breathing and slow down the metabolism and all of that, it will not need air or food or anything. But that can come only if I pull myself away from the samsara and sit quietly and go deep inside, and I bring all functions to a state of almost standstill. It cannot be standstill, the person will. So it comes to a state of almost negligible function. And so that person can then stay there and sustain and go on for a long, long time with no food or no. This is the science all the yogis use. And therefore we see stories of Valmikiji sitting there for such a long time and all. Because the whole metabolic process, which is connected to breathing, that thing is just brought to a state of almost standstill. In your seat of meditation, those who spend time meditating, you will experience this quite often, where the breath, in fact, the breath, you can't even see it. First, you start your meditation by observing the breath. After some time, it becomes so slow, you ask, where is the breath? Nothing is going on. As though. So that taken to its deepest level, prana apana, the two merge into each other and become almost at a state of, as a state of standstill, as it were. Rudra, Rudra means having stopped it, but it's not literally it should be taken. Having stopped it, as though. Pranayama, parayana. These are the ones who practice pranayama. And then there is another group of people who control all their pranas, all bodily functions. How? Through fasting. Now see, that is number 30. Apare niyataharaha.
Apare niyataharaha.
Pranan praneshu juhvati.
Pranan praneshu.
Sarve pyete yajna vidaha.
Sarve pyete yajna vidaha.
Yajna kshapita kalmashaha.
Yajna kshapita kalmashaha.
Apare, others sadhaks, others who strive, niyataharaha, who control their, who take strong vows with regard to eating, and who control what they eat. Gurudev always extends this word ahar, means not only to mean what we eat through our mouth, but what we eat through all our senses, because our senses go on consuming. We take in. No? But anyway, those who control all the intake of food, ahar, pranan, praneshu, juhvati, they offer their prana into their prana. In other words, a person can fast, and through regulated fasting, he can slow down all his pranic functions going on inside the body. So the pranas, means all these physiological functions going on inside the body, that person can bring them to a very quiet state also. When that is done, the mind comes also to a quiet state. You see, one of the biggest problems today is people who want to meditate, their mind is so agitated because of wrong diet. We have this wrong type of food that we are eating all the time. And the scriptures go on talking about sattvic food, rajasic food, tamasic food, and we are predominantly eating rajasic and tamasic. And we feel, no, Swamiji, I'm a vegetarian, you know, I eat nice. It's all sattvic food and still mind is so agitated. Anyway, after 3 hours of cooking, if that food is not consumed, it becomes tamasic. So you pop it out from the freezer and put it into the microwave and beep. Tamasic. The mind must be, or rajasic, the mind must be agitated or sleepy. Those two things. The food, it has to be sattvic food. It's such a big help. So here also, with the control of food, the pranas also can be brought under control. And here prana includes breathing, includes circulation, all of these things. Suppose you're sitting there for meditation and you're breathing. How you will meditate? So much of oxygen will be flowing throughout your body in the circulatory system. It's part of the prana, no? So you're breathing. So much of circulation going on, so much of oxygen going to the brain, all sorts of things. And when so much of that is happening, you will meditate on what? Your mind will be going Timbuktu. So through food, if I eat the right sattvic food in the right quantities and all that sort of thing, I am able to control all of the pranas also, which contribute to agitation of mind. So if I control them, the agitation of the mind will be less. Yajna shishta amrita bhujaha
yanti
brahma sanatanam
nayam
lokostya
yajnasya
kuto nyakuru sattama. O Kuru Sattama, he calls Arjuna as Kuru Sattama. Yajna shishta amrita bhujaha yanti brahma sanatanam. The person who is able to practice these yajnas, you know, and get the result of these yajnas. The person who gets the result of these yajnas, and in other words, here he says, mrita, yajna, mrita bhujaha, who eats the result of this yajna. But really, if you sit down and you do, you know, tapas or something, there is nothing you can eat. There is nothing left for you to eat. The reason why this word is used is because, you know, when you do the yajna outside, the fire and all that, at the end there is something for you to consume. So here, what you will consume is the benefit of having done that yajna. It means that benefit accrues to you. And the person who is able to do it well, yanti, those people who are able to do it well, yanti brahma sanatanam, they go to the supreme state. It means just one of the yajna, take it and do it well. Sit down and concentrate on that, study it well and do it well. The person, he says, goes to Supreme Brahman. Na ayam lokaha asti ayajnasya kutaha anyaha. For the person who cannot do any of these yajnas, in this world itself, he'll have nothing, he'll achieve nothing, he'll gain nothing. What to talk of? Other world. So what type of achievement Bhagwan is talking about? Certainly not the worldly achievement, isn't it? He's talking about any spiritual achievement. So in other words, the Lord is very clear about what is achievement. In other words, he doesn't see any of our worldly material achievements as any achievements. What is a real achievement for Bhagwan? In his eyes, spiritual achievement. And the person who cannot do this yajna, any one of these yajna, or who doesn't sit down and apply himself, he'll have no achievement. Because We may have worldly achievement, but the Lord doesn't count that. There is no achievement. So in this world, he'll achieve nothing. And what to talk of? Next world, he tells. Okay. I finished all the yagnas in one stroke.
Gopal Jai 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 Govind Jai Jai Gopal Jai Jai Radha Raman Hari Govind Jai Jai
Bihari Lal Ki Jai. We'll have announcements.
Hari Om. As most of you know, it's a custom in Chinmaya Mission at the end of the Yagna for the audience